Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
The whole notion of friendship is up for grabs in our online social media world as it has never been before. The concept of being a, quote, friend can still be as close as you want, but you might also be friends with people you've never met and are never likely to meet. The word friend has always been a noun, something it is. Now it can be a verb, something we can do. So, in our highly mobile and increasingly busy lives, is true friendship still possible? And is it right to decry our online friendships as pretty empty? Author Lynn Barb has been thinking about all this very deeply and has lots of stories to tell in her book, Friending: Real Relationships in a Virtual World. And Lynn joins us now from New Zealand, where she's living and teaching at the University of Otago in Dunedin. Lynn, welcome to Open House.
Thank you so much for having me, Lee.
It's great to have you with us. Thanks, Lynn. From what you've found in your research and thinking, do you think there's ever been a time like this when so much about friendship has been up for grabs?
No, I don't actually think there's been times like this. I think it's really a unique situation that we're dealing with. However, so many of the same principles of friendship that function in the, you know, face-to-face, offline world also matter in the online world. I mean, the issues of courtesy and affection and support and prayer and encouragement, all of those things are true online and offline. Friendship is about character and who we are as people and how much we love. It's not about a mechanism.
It's probably worth getting you to define the kind of friendship you've been contemplating. What is friendship going to look like, Lynn?
Well, for my book, I interviewed people from age 12 to 85, and the 12-year-old had a definition of friendship that a friend is someone who's there for you and doesn't gossip about you. Okay. I mean, that's about as good as, you know,
yes, it does.
Any definition.
Yes.
Another definition I loved was someone more, you know, middle of life person said something about a friend being like a pair of slippers, that the comfort that you slip on these slippers and there's a comfortableness to it. And I like that as a kind of a metaphor to think about as well.
From your own life and from your thinking, how many true friends do you think we can have?
One of the things I say in the book is we really need some different vocabulary.
Okay.
So, true friends, does that mean someone who I can share almost anything with? Does that mean someone who I can share most things with? Does that mean someone who, you know, supports me a lot, but I have reservations about what I could really say to them? I mean, we use the word friend to mean so many things, and I think that's one of the big problems. So, if you want numbers, I guess maybe I'd use the phrase soul friends for people who really, I feel like we meet soul to soul, and there'd only be a handful of people in my life who are really soul friends,
yeah.
But someone else might feel like they have more than that. But acquaintances, I mean, the circle goes out, you know?
I'm interested in this, how you see friendship as a spiritual exercise where we live out the things we believe in. Explain to us what you mean by that.
Well, who we are as people is what we act on when we make relationships. So if I'm a person who wants to care for people and pray for them, then I'm going to approach my friendships differently than if I'm a person who wants to be the center of attention in every setting. The reason I see it as a spiritual focus is I want to be a person who becomes more and more like Jesus Christ. And man, you look at the relationships that the interactions that Jesus had in the Gospels, his sensitivity at listening to people and his receptivity to exactly who that other person was. He didn't go into conversations with agendas. He went in with a real meeting of the other person. I mean, he obviously had an agenda of making God known, but he didn't have an agenda of how the conversation would go or how the other person would instantly respond, and he clearly wasn't self-focused. So I guess that's part of what I mean by friendships are an arena where we act out our spiritual commitments.
As I said in the intro, the word friend can now also be used as a verb, but you think it's always been actually a verb.
I do. So let me just tell you a little bit about my mother here. I grew up in a military family, and we moved every year or two of my entire childhood. My dad retired from the military when I was 15, so, you know, a little more stability then. But I watched my mother nurture friendships in every single one of the places that we lived. And to my mother, friendship is a verb. The key friendship skill is the ability to initiate. And I watched my mother in every single place we lived initiate with neighbors, initiate with the wives of my dad's coworkers. I mean, in those days it was mostly men, military people, and wives who were the spouses. She just was amazing. Every year at Christmas, she would spend the whole month of December writing long letters to all her friends at Christmas to put in Christmas cards. My mother knows how to make and keep friendships, and she would say that initiative is the central skill.
So if you look at friendship today, it would be easy to shoot lots of holes in this new notion of friendship, especially online. But you are not nearly as critical about it all as some people might expect.
No. So I still think that the characteristics of love and care matter in the online world just as much as the offline world. And I mean, think about me. I'm an American. I've lived in New Zealand 6 years. How do I keep up with my friends in the U.S.? Well, I send them emails, I Skype with them, and I look at their news on Facebook. Well, gee, I'm using all those electronic means to continue friendships that I've had all along.
Yes.
There's also people who are initiating new friendships through Facebook. I have a really interesting example of that. Another American I met here in New Zealand, he was just here for a few years, he actually connected through Facebook with a person from his church in the U.S. who he'd never met, but they had this Facebook relationship the whole time he was in New Zealand, and they were talking about their marriages, talking about how they were needing to trust God in their work relationships. This was a deep connection that he made with somebody that was through Facebook. Now, they had the shared experience of being in the same church in the U.S., but anyway, I just think we've got to be careful not to be too simplistic in condemning Facebook or in saying it's the best thing in the whole world.
Now, you've gone to the Bible and two landmark passages for some guidance on all of this. I'd like to explore your thinking on both of them. The first is the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that great passage on love, which most commonly is actually used in weddings, not friendship.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I memorized the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 when I was a young woman, one of the better things that I did. And I used to lie awake at night thinking about a conflict that I'd had with a friend or an issue with a friend, and I would actually sort of recite it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. And I would evaluate, what did I do in that relationship? Ah, okay, I was insisting on my own way. Okay, that's the problem. Or, love is not envious or boastful. Oh, right, I went into that relationship, or that conversation in that relationship. I went into it thinking, you know, this should be about me. I'm feeling really needy right now, and so it should really all be about me. So that's part of the character of Jesus as revealed in 1 Corinthians 13. The character of God as revealed in 1 Corinthians 13 is part of how we are supposed to be growing.
The second passage is another New Testament chapter, Colossians 3, the whole new life in Christian faith. Take us through how you tie that in to the notion of friendship, Lynn.
So when my husband and I got married, we had Colossians 3:12-17 read at our wedding. And so while I never memorized that passage, it's very near and dear to my heart as well. This one talks about clothing yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And that metaphor, clothing yourself, implies that you can put on these characteristics like clothes. That seems to me like a really strong mandate for something that we could do in friendships.
Yes.
What does it look like with the friend that I'm going to see later today to clothe myself with compassion and kindness? What does it look like to clothe myself with humility and patience as I talk to this friend who I'm going to be maybe talking face-to-face with or maybe emailing with? But what do these characteristics look like in practice in a relationship? I think that is really helpful to meditate on.
There are three specific dynamics among many of friendship that you look at that I'd love you to take us through. The first one is initiating. And how will and how should that happen in our world today, the initiation of friendship, Lynn?
Yeah, well, there's 100 ways to initiate. And why it matters, when I did the research for this book, some people would say to me, you know, I'm really lonely a lot. I don't really have a lot of friends. And in the next sentence, they would say, I really don't know how to initiate. And having seen the model with my mother and then heard people say, I don't know how to initiate and I'm lonely, that's kind of where I made this connection. What does initiative look like? It looks like ringing someone up when you know that they've had a crisis in their life. It looks like sending an email when you know that someone overseas has had something going on that is important. What does it look like? It looks like initiating on Facebook, figuring out what's going on in the lives of your friends and then letting them know that you're thinking of them. It looks like texting. It looks like sending a card. It looks like taking a meal. It looks like doing something practical, some form of communication or action that lets a person know that you're thinking about them and that you want to be with them.
It's all involving us giving out rather than it's all about us.
Absolutely. When I go on Facebook, I see people expressing needs and I see others responding with, oh, I'll be praying for that, or, oh, gosh, thanks for letting us know about that and I'll be thinking about you. I see all kinds of support being given on Facebook anyway. And same with emails. I mean, I get very supportive emails from people and I send supportive emails. So I just think it's important not to think that just because it's done through an electronic means, you know, Facebook, email, texting, whatever, that it's then devoid of love, because I just see lots of love being expressed in those venues. Of course, you can also express all kinds of other stuff that's not love.
Yes, that's initiating. Second element is forgiving, which is a critical element in any and all relationships, especially continuing friendships.
Yeah, and let me just tell you that I really struggle with people saying the only thing that you have to do when someone's done something wrong is just forgive them. Just get on with it. Just do it. Just forgive them. I find that really hard. I find that all I can do is say to God, I'm willing to forgive them. I'm not there yet. I'm willing. Will you help me, please? So I really see a need for honesty here, that it's just not easy to instantly forgive someone. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Fine. Definitely get rid of as much of your anger as you can, but also be honest that it takes time to forgive and ask for God's help to forgive. We have to do it. It's a command of the Bible, but it's just not an easy command to obey.
The third dynamic I'd like you to take us through is that of being together and being apart. It is the case that you can spend years apart from a friend and you're able to immediately and deeply pick up with them again.
Boy, those are the best kind of friendships, aren't they?
Yeah.
When you can do that. Yeah, every single friendship has a dynamic of being together and being apart, and a balance point between those two things. So you might meet somebody who just seems like a potentially absolutely wonderful friend, but, you know, don't, like, dive in and try to see them every day. Kind of, you know, go at things carefully and slowly. Take initiative, yes, but always be aware of this dynamic of being together and being apart. That's what every single relationship has. And so we've got to not be idealistic about, you know, if someone's a best friend, I'm going to see them every single day or text with them every single day. Maybe not. Maybe there's a rhythm. So it's finding a rhythm. It's like dancing. Friendship is like a dance. And finding that rhythm is part of the challenge.
Lynn, is it okay to move on from friendships? There'll be some people you'll have as a friend only for a time, and it can be easy to feel guilty about losing friendships moving on.
Yeah, it really can. I think that this is one of the bigger friendship challenges, really, for a lot of people, is how to move on in a gracious, loving way. And I guess I would really want to maybe go back to that rhythm of time together and time apart. So rather than viewing, you know, I'm 100% done with this friendship and I'm never going to do anything about it again, maybe say, well, you know, I need some time apart. And maybe later there'll be some connection again where I can affirm that I do really care about the person or that I'm still praying for them or whatever. So, yeah, it's about rhythms. It really is.
There's one fascinating suggestion you come up with, that it's okay to consider befriending loneliness. Explain to us what you mean by that.
Yeah, well, that has to do with the together and apart thing as well. there is no way that I can be with someone every moment 24/7. You know, I've got to nurture some ability to be at home in myself.
Yes.
And so that befriending loneliness, that was my language for coming to a place where it's okay to be alone at times, and it's okay to be with people. There's a rhythm here, a rhythm of being alone and being together with others, and that I don't have to absolutize, you know, I'm not an okay person if I'm not with somebody every moment of the day.
I think this book has made an important contribution in the world in which we live today to the whole issue of friendship and relationship. Lynn, I'm so glad you've joined us on Open House. The book is Friending Real Relationships in a Virtual World by Lynn Barb. Lynn, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.